This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. So last week, we talked about the pie. Do you remember? We had the pie and we sliced it up and we gave some to significant parts of our life. And my encouragement to you last week was to remember who brought the pie and to give the first slice to honour the generosity of the giver of the pie and not to let him have the crumbs at the end. And then I said that for somebody who lives a generous life, who is generous, there are some significant benefits. And that's what I want to talk about today. And I think that as I go through these, we'll go through them pretty quickly, but I think as I go through these, I sense the Lord's going to speak to you through one of the nine, or maybe more than one, but quite specifically. I think he's going to put something in your heart that will think, I need to deal with that. There's something there that is for me to learn and to grow in following Jesus. So listen out for what he's saying to you. We're going to spend some time looking in the Bible. So if you've got a Bible, great. If you haven't, the welcome team have got some NIVs. These are the ones that we use. The brown ones in the pew are not a translation I tend to use. So if you haven't got a Bible, just stick your hand up and they'll give you one. If you'd like to keep it, do. If you just want to borrow it, give it back at the end. That's great. We'd love you to have a Bible. Would you like to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9? If you're not familiar with the Bible, just use the contents page. That's the easiest thing. 2 Corinthians is on the right-hand side. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, then the Acts of the Apostles, and then the letter of Romans, and then it comes to 1 and 2 Corinthians. And so we're reading 2 Corinthians. And we're going to start at verse 6. Now, Corinthians is Paul. The Apostle Paul was trudging across Asia Minor on his way to Corinth, which was in Greece, and Corinth, a relatively prosperous town, had agreed to do a collection and gather up some gifts so that Paul and his cohort could securely get the money over to Jerusalem where there was a famine. So he was writing ahead to remind them of what they'd said they were going to do and then to encourage them and to remind them that he was on his way. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, he says this: "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." We sometimes make fun of that verse, but it's absolutely essential that your giving is done cheerfully, so that no one's browbeaten you into giving, that you haven't been manipulated or under a compulsion, that you've decided and you've done it out of joy and you can do it cheerfully. "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it's written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower," it's an agricultural environment mainly at that time, "he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." What an interesting picture. "You will be enriched in every way so that you could be generous on every occasion, and through us," because they're going to be the people carrying the gift, "through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform," this raising of the money, "is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ." I'll explain that a bit later. "And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you." And he finishes by saying thank you to God for his indescribable gift. He's saying, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending Jesus for our salvation. What a great gift. this is God's word to us. It's absolutely right, and it's given to us because he loves us. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray that you will... I thank you for the gifts that come to Leeds Vineyard on a regular basis that enable us to do what you've told us to do. And I thank you for this book that helps us understand these things. And I pray that as I just run through these things, you will speak truth and reveal your generosity in the hearts of everybody here, that we may reflect what you're like in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Should probably also pray for all those poor people running around Leeds when they could be sitting here. Who's made the best decision? You've got some handouts yet again. Gosh, you're lucky. That's 3 weeks and out of four that you've been given handouts. Now, the handouts are just some of the scriptures I'm referring to, and it's a list of the 9 things I'm just going to run through very quickly. So, but I'm going to be going back to that chapter in 2 Corinthians, which is why I wanted you to open the Bible there, and you can keep the handout for future reference. Let me tell you about Cardinal Van Thuan. Cardinal Van Thuan. He was a Vietnamese guy who was captured and tortured by the Vietnamese in the 1970s. He lived in he was in solitary confinement, terribly treated for years and years and years, but eventually was released and came to Italy and became a cardinal and working for the Pope. In his book, The Road of Hope, he starts off by saying that what he loves most about God are God's faults. Interesting phrase. What he loves most about God are God's faults. That's the fire alarm testing, okay? It's not real. There's no fire. The children are fine. Promise. Where was I? I'm not sure I've got your attention. Have they finished, do you think? The kids are being tested, not us. Yes, I think they're finished. The fire's out. Good. Where was I? He wrote a book, The Road of Hope, and he starts off by saying that what he loves most about God are God's faults. And among them is ludicrous over generosity. What a great fault to have. So last week, I talked about what you do with the pie, and I encourage you towards generosity. And it's what happens when you reorganize your life to honor God with the first slice of the pie. When we become a bit more like, in our generosity, his generosity to us. When we become generous as a first order of things. So what happens when we do that? First of all, God blesses you. Proverbs 19:17 has this interesting phrase. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. That's an interesting construction, an interesting financial instrument. You give something to the poor, and it's treated as a loan to God, which he then repays. Interesting. That's the way he sees it. He uses your gift as collateral. And in Malachi 3, verse 10, he says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. See if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing, there'll be not enough room to store it. There's a definite theme through Scripture that as we give and as we are like that, he blesses us. Now, hear me. Some people have taken this onto something we call the prosperity gospel, which goes along the line of, if you give sacrificially and enough, God will give to you many times more. And it's a way of getting something from God. I'm not saying that. I don't believe that. I don't think that's what the Bible teaches. That was a slot machine God. And what we're saying with that type of theology is, if I do X, God does Y. I don't think it works like that. If I can make God do Y by doing X, that makes me God because I'm making God do something. We can't make God do anything, in my view. We don't give in order to get. We give out of thanks and to honor him. Okay? So this is not This is not a sort of mechanism for boosting your personal prosperity. What does happen, though, when you give, is that you put yourself in a place where you can receive from God. So, have you got any money in your pocket? Have you got a pound or a £5 note? Or if student, have you got a £20 note? Just kidding. Smile. Okay, take. They haven't got anything, the students. They're open-handed. If you got something, just put it in your hand. A pound coin or a £5 coin. If you put a £20 note, watch it carefully. Okay. Now, hold it like this. Okay. So you've got this pound coin in your fist. How much more money can I put in your fist if you keep it like this? None. Well done. Great. Now, if you open it up, what's the risk? Somebody might take it, somebody might steal it, or you can give it away. But when your hand is like this, how much money can I put in it?
As much as you like.
Yeah. Okay. It's very simple, isn't it? When we give, we're opening our hand and putting ourselves in a place where God can bless us. Okay? This is not prosperity gospel. This is not manipulating God into giving to us. It's putting ourselves in a place where we can receive from him. That's number one. The other ones are quicker. So number two is this. The gloom starts to lift. Just look around at the person nearest you. And do they look gloomy? How gloomy? Just whisper in their ear. If they look gloomy, whisper in their ear, there's a remedy. Okay, there's a remedy. Isaiah 58, verses 9b to 10. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like the noonday. There's a gloom that settles on us when we hold on to the whole of the pie, a money melancholy. Money has a power over us, and the only way to break that is to give it away. It's a spiritual thing. It raises the gloom. Number three, Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." When a generosity validates your faith, because it tells you where your heart is. When we give to God, it tells us that that is where our heart is. With him, that our desire and faith are in the right place. Jesus says that your heart and your money go to the same place. So we know our faith is genuine because of the way we handle money matches it. When we surrender our lives unconditionally to him in grateful thanks, we validate that when we give him the first slice of the pie, the first fruit. Our generosity reflects the impact on our lives of the great giver, the most generous one. And it, as we respond to that, it tells the world and it tells me that we're putting God first. It validates our faith. Number four, when we are generous, others say thank you to God. We just read this in the Bible, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 12. Let me read it to you in a slightly different version as you're looking at the NIV or whatever you're looking at. The more you are enriched by God, the more scope there will be for generous giving. And your gifts administered through us, remember he's the sort of like a security call van going to Corinth to pick up this money to take over to Jerusalem. Your gifts administered through us, a G4S fan, maybe that would be better in view of, never mind, through us, will mean that many will thank God. For your giving does not end in meeting the wants of your fellow Christian, it also results in an overflowing tide of thanksgiving to God. So as you give, others will say thank you to God and will give glory to him as a result of your giving. That's a good thing to happen, isn't it? Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, David. It's a good thing. Number five, evangelism. It leads on to evangelism. So, verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourself, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. It's a bit convoluted, that sentence. What it means is this. When people hear what you say, they'll believe it because of what you do. The confession of the gospel of Christ is when you say, I believe in Jesus, and I believe that he died for me, that I'm saved because of him. At that point, that's your confession of Christ. It's a bit of an awkward phrase. But the obedience that goes with that is what gives it power. You can say the words as much as you like, but if somebody looks at your life and they don't see it, it doesn't work. You see, there are many ways for people to experience God's love for them, but without doubt, one of the best ways, the way that raises the least cynicism, the way that raises the least doubt, is when they see you being generous. When people see the church being generous, they know, they realize at one level or another that this is a sign of the goodness of God. It's not just strange words or rituals. It's a life-changing thing that we do here. He has sacrificed and given to us, and we're responding in that, and people see the action and the statement going side by side. Words and deeds. One of the prophetic words that we've received about the building that we're buying, and I'll talk more about this in a couple of weeks, is that it's to be a place of generosity. It's somewhere where we are to give. Isn't that great? A place where we give. Is that an amazing thought? And when people see and experience that give, they will recognize and they will listen to the confession of faith, to when we say that the Bible is true and we follow Jesus. Okay, that's number five. Number six, I'm doing reasonably well on time. This is an important one. It's where the children learn. This is a benefit of being generous. It's what the children learn, your children, or the children on whom you have influence. Let me ask you, think back to your childhood. For some of you, that's further away than others. Can you remember what your parents were like? Would you describe them as having been generous or, what should we say, stingy? If they were Christians, were they regular givers to their church? Do you know? Do you know what they were like? Did they keep it really secret? And are you like them? Or are you different from them, one way or the other? For those of you with children, this is one of the outstanding benefits of being generous. Why? Proverbs 11:24 says this. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. It's a picture of an expanding, exciting, colorful life versus a restricted, gray, meaningless life. What do you want for your children? Don't you want them to have a great life? In which case, model it through generosity. Show them generosity. Now, if you're not very wealthy, if you don't have much money, the children will watch what you do with the pie. How you trust God with generosity, even though you don't have much to yourself. If you're very wealthy, it's more difficult. You have to be careful. You know, I was talking last week about you give the first slice, and then from time to time we could put cream on it. I squirted cream on it, or sprinkles. When you're wealthy, there's a lot of cream. What are you going to do with the cream? The children are watching. Are you going to spend all that cream on them? Is that what they're going to learn about generosity? Because you're wealthy, we get more. You have to model carefully when you have a big pie. They will learn from you, and when they see the gloom lift, they'll copy. And when they see the consistency in your declaration of faith and the way you live, they will be inspired. Number seven, building unity. Ah, this is an interesting one. So this passage, 2 Corinthians 9, is an extensive reflection on the dynamics of giving and bears much reflection and meditation. It's personal. It's Paul talking to individuals he knows. He's been to this church before. But it's also Paul talking to the church. And it's also Paul talking to the church on behalf of the church, the universal church. What this church are going to do through their individual giving is going to impact a whole community hundreds of miles away. When you give, it goes through a transition, a financial, spiritual transition, transaction. It's very important, this. My gift becomes our gift. My gift becomes our gift. Your individual gift to the church becomes the offering of the church. It becomes God's offering. That's why we say, thank you, Lord, for what you've given when we count the money. We don't do an offering in this church service here. But when we say thank you to him for it, it's because our gift has become the church's gift, has become his gift. It's a wonderful thing. And it doesn't matter how much you give. The amount is not important. The amount is never important. But once you give, your gift becomes part of the offering, part of the whole. So what we do with the gift as a church, with the whole offering, is what you're doing as well. You're part of it. As we obey the direction of the Holy Spirit in the ministry that we do in this church, it's what you're doing. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. Let me give you a little practical example. That's the week-by-week example. Let me give you a practical example to do with the buying of this building. And I don't want this to be pointed, but I do want it to make the point, okay? When the day comes that we open this new building, it's going to be, I don't know, probably a year away or so, because there's a lot of work to do on it. But when the day comes and we fling the doors open, we say welcome, and you walk through, perhaps for the first time, you're going to walk through and you're going to say, yeah! You're going to say, look! Look, look, and you're going to say, I did this. I'm part of this. I played my part in this endeavor. Whether you gave a pound or whether you gave £100,000, you're going to be part of this. But if you decide not to give, which is your prerogative, the first time you walk through those doors, you're not going to feel like that. This color scheme's not going to be quite right. The stairs are going to be too steep. Because when we give, it becomes part of our giving. Giving draws us together in a joint kingdom endeavor. It's great to give because of that. It's a way to bless us with unity with each other and relationship. The penultimate one, number eight, giving fights covetousness. That's an old-fashioned word. 1 Timothy 6 says this. You got it on your handouts. The first part is NIV, the second part is Message. I just like the way they translate this. But godliness with contentment is great gain, he says in one, great gain. It's very important where you put the R, gate grain. Or great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Let's skip down a bit. Those who want to get rich, so the verb there is who want to get rich, fall into temptation and are trapped into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For, another verb, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And then here we have another one. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. A little bit later on, tell those who are rich in this world's wealth, that's us, to stop being so full of themselves and so obsessed with money, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Tell them to go after God, who piles on all the riches we could ever manage. To do good, to be rich in helping others, to be extravagantly generous. If they do that, they'll build a treasury that will last, gaining life that is truly life. This is a temptation of coveting something, of being jealous for something somebody else has. There's always somebody with a better car or a newer phone or a bigger house or smarter clothes. But being content with what you have is a wonderful, wonderful place to be. And it's where we can be when we surrender everything to Him, our lives to Him. But the thing is, the enemy uses money to spoil that. This is one of his main tricks, is to bring in covetousness into our money and the way we think about our money and possessions. And it's a poison in our lives, and it's a poison in our relationship with each other. How do you deal with it? Give. Great. That's one of you's listening. Give. There's a theme to this, okay? Generosity breaks the power of money. It breaks the power of covetousness in our life. Last one, number 9, it leaves a legacy. Back in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ. We've just done that. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. You build a legacy when you give. All over the world, all over Leeds, all over Headingley, there are people who are saying thank you to God because of what you've done, because of your generosity. It may be somebody who was rescued from debt through our debt advice center that we used to run. It may be a family that had been reunited through our child contact center. It may be somebody on the street who is lonely and hungry and you've given them food and you've befriended them. It may be somebody who's got a house to live in Mexico because Ivan and Libby in their ministry have built them that house. It could be any number of 1,000 things, and they're all coming just from the giving of Leeds Vineyard. Your gift, becoming part of their gift, which creates this legacy. It's a wonderful thing. You can be so righteously proud of the legacy that you're building. And one day, you're going to be wandering around heaven. You'll be a bit awestruck because God will be there. And you'll be, wow. But somebody will interrupt your reverie and will give you a big hug. And you won't know who they are. And they'll be saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. I don't know how you did it. I don't know why you did it. But because of your gift, I met Jesus and my life got changed and I'm rescued. As we seek to discern what God is doing and as we join in with what we can bring, money, service, compassion, time, hard work, we are creating a God-given legacy. A legacy inherited, perhaps, by people we will never meet this side of heaven. A legacy, perhaps, which may bear fruit many, many years in the future. Nevertheless, when you're generous, you're building a legacy. Okay? So when you're generous, when you're a generous person, when you, the 9 benefits to giving are that you will realize God is blessing you. God is able to bless you. The gloom starts to lift. Your faith is validated in your eyes and in those around you, which means that others say thank you to God. And that results in evangelism because there's a coherence in what you say and what you're doing. Children will learn from you and you'll be giving them a bigger life. It builds unity between you and others and the rest of the church. It fights this disease of covetousness and you leave a legacy. Isn't that worth it? Isn't it worth it to give? Yes, David. Isn't it worth it to be generous? Yes. You know, when we pray for you a lot, the leaders and Alice and I, we pray for you a lot. We pray for your health and your well-being, and we pray for your work and for your finances and for success, and we pray that you will be generous. Not for our benefit, but for your benefit. And as long as you are generous, I long for this church to be generous too, so that we can give, give, give. I don't want to be generous in order that God may bless you, but I want you to be generous because you are so grateful to Him for His generosity. Just because you want to honor Him with that first slice of the pie. And I know that as you are generous in your response to Him, and that as we are generous, as we open our hands to give what we have, God will continue to be ludicrous in His generosity to us. Amen.